Brewers of El Pacifico, Bill Hendrick.
All right, Harvey, you got one more shot here. Go ahead.
Yeah. Is this okay? I'm on. It's Harvey Wireman, ladies and gentlemen. I've got something to say about. First, I was afraid. I was petrified. Kept thinking I could never live without you by my side. But then I spent so many nights here thinking how you did me wrong, and I grew strong. I learned how to get along. And so you're back. Yeah, from outer space. Yeah, I just walked in. Yeah, to find you here with a sad look on your face. I should have changed the lock. I should have made you leave the key. If I'd known for just one second you'd be back to bother me, I'd buy a dog. I'm sorry, go on, walk out the door. Just turn around now, because you're not wet. No welcome anymore. You weren't you the one who tried to hurt me with goodbye? Did you think I'd crumble? Did you think I'd lay down and die? Oh, no. I will survive. I will survive. I will survive.
No, that's not the...
I will survive. I don't know. I can't see it anymore. But you know the point I'm making. If you want to sing some Donna Summer...
Yeah, well, that's not Donna Summer.
I will survive. What's that?
That's not Donna Summer.
The hell it's not? What do you mean it's not Donna Summer? I will survive. Yeah, I will survive. You know that?
Hey, turn it off, will you? Turn it off, bud. That ain't Donna Summer. That's Gloria Gaynor. Where is he, man? Do you got him back on the... Harvey, you there?
Yeah, I'm right here. What happened?
That's not Donna Summer. That's Gloria Gaynor.
And I spent so many nights...
Turn that down. That's not Donna Summer. What'd you do, bud?
I was told by this guy, Dickman, that was Donna Summer.
It is Donna Summer.
No, it's not. No, it isn't. It's Gloria Gaynor.
Oh, baloney.
Well, the Dickman's the one who told me that was Donna Summer. And I'm saying it.
If you don't turn that down, man, I'm going to...
So what are you telling me now? I've just made a baboon out of myself? Is that it?
Pretty much, man. It's just like every time you come on the show.
Oh, just like every time I come on the show. Is that it, huh? Did you tell me that was Donna Summer?
Yeah, I thought it was Donna Summer. And found out now. I just looked at the label.
Oh, he looked at the label. Well, that helps.
Oh, he looked at the label. Are you trying to put me on? When I asked you for a Donna Summer song, I wanted a Donna Summer. And if that's not Donna, I hear that song everywhere.
Yeah, you might hear it everywhere.
Why, we went on a cruise on the Danube River. Last year, I went with my lady friend, and that song played in the nightclub every night. You should have seen these Austrians and the Hungarians.
That's really great, and I'm really happy to hear about that, except that ain't Donna Summer, it's Gloria Gaynor, it's not her song.
Well, you want to know something? It still holds, because you can bring me on your show and make me look like an ass, and I will survive. And if Donna Summer were here, thank you, and I'll survive.
Thanks very much, bud. So now I had to cut him off. That's great.
You cut off Harvey Wireman, one of the biggest attorneys in L.A.
I don't give a damn. You're the guy with the wrong song. All right, anyway, rest in peace, Donna Summer. That was the most butchered up, and to think, and Debbie Daly's going to come on and do a tribute, and she's deaf.
Not supposed to say deaf. Got to say hearing impaired.
Never mind what I got to say. All right, we're going to get Bob Green on the line with us here in just a moment because this is an interesting and rather serious story, folks. There is a bit of research that's been making the rounds over the last couple of days that we'll give you an inside scoop on. It first made its appearance in the Daily Mail online, the British newspaper. It is a conclusion likely to upset most feminists. This is, of course, I'm reading from their article, and perhaps even most women. Female employees who want to succeed in the workplace should keep their mouths shut. Research suggests that women who talk too much in the office are seen as less competent than their quieter peers. For the men, however, the more they voice their opinions, the better they are seen at doing their jobs. The researchers say that chatty women are seen as a, quote, nag, who are domineering and presumptuous if they speak too much. The depressing conclusion is that if you are a woman who wants to get ahead, you should hold your tongue, especially in front of men. So joining us on the line this evening from Fraser Foods in Buena Park, California, is Robert Green, is the CEO of one of the largest grocery chains in the United States, some 50 stores throughout the Southeast and the Southwest. And Bob, always good to have you with us.
It's always great to be on the program, Phil. Thank you.
Now we segue from the story that I just read to the situation at your place of business and what happened today.
Well, what happened today is I exercised my right as an employer, and I posted that article. I put it in our lunchroom, our break room. Most of our checkers are female. In fact, during a certain time of the day, we have most of the people that are on the floor are women. There are checkers. We have a lot of women are working in the stock room.
And by posting this in the break room, where you saw that mostly women would see this, what happened?
I got a call from two representatives. Two of these people are representatives of a labor organization. Now, understand, we are not a union shop. But I do know that we've got checkers who belong to organizations that petition the labor board on occasion. And that's fine. I got nothing against that. I think my workers should be allowed to express their opinions, but I'm just not going to have any... we don't want to have any unions in here. You can't do that. It's not that I've got anything against unions, but if I start unionizing, if I allow unionizing, then other individuals who are in management are going to see me as the enemy. But nonetheless, I got a call, and I also got a call from an attorney who told me that this constituted a hostile work environment.
Now, they said it was a hostile work environment because you posted this article that said women should hold their tongue at work.
That is correct. Now, I almost laughed in the guy's face because I said, how is it hostile if I'm simply saying to women, here is a great idea that's going to help you get ahead?
Now, the question that was asked by this gentleman, as you told me and your attorney told me, before we went on the air, is they asked, had you ever posted any other news articles? Had you ever?
No, and I said, no, I hadn't. This had been the first because I had not, up to that point, hadn't thought about it. And it just so happens that I've been thinking about wanting to keep my employees better informed, and just things they can talk about while they're on their lunch break. And I came to that conclusion, and you can talk to my girlfriend, Carrie Ann, who I had discussed this with her as I was leaving her house this morning, as a matter of fact. This morning. And so...
So there's nothing... What you're saying is it's coincidental that it happened to be this article.
Absolutely coincidental from this standpoint. I didn't say, oh, this is really a great article. I think I'll post it. I had said, I think I want to start putting news articles up. And I looked down at the paper that I was reading, and I was reading the Orange County Register, which is the paper that we read, and I saw that article, and I said, well, you know, might as well start with this one.
Okay, see, that's what the attorney said he didn't believe.
Oh, I know that this guy, look, he's a lawyer, Phil, working for a group of people that are trying to unionize. In my book, and I don't mean any disrespect, but in my book, that means... not a very nice word.
All right, well, then we can not use the word.
Well, I can use it means a dirtbag.
Okay, let's see if we can't, because when you do that, now all of a sudden we realize there's some kind of a personal beef.
There's a personal beef. There's a beef with him trying to take my money. You know what I mean by that?
No, I understand that the whole thing with having to pay employees more money and obviously health and this and that, and you realize that in some people's minds that makes you pretty much Ebenezer Scrooge or Mr. Potter, depending.
No, I understand that, and those are people that don't understand business. But I'm telling you this. When I put the article up about women being quiet...
Well, let me just ask you a question.
No, when I put the article up about women being quiet, I was simply... saying, oh, I want to put news up, and it happened to be that story.
All right. You, according to the attorney, when you had read this article, and you read it out loud to some guys in the, because I guess one or two people witnessed this, you read it out loud to some guys in the supermarket, you let out a whoop.
I was reading it. I didn't let out a whoop. No, I was reading it to Tom Simpson and a couple of the other guys who work in the stock room. And I kind of gave it a, you know, I read the article and I went, ooh, you know, something like that. I didn't let out a big loud whoop.
All right, but basically when you read the article of them, the indication was you really liked the news.
I mean, if you are a woman and you think you understand men, then you would understand how a news article saying that women can get ahead in the office if they don't talk so much, you can understand how that would excite any man, because it gives you, Phil, for the first time in history, it gives you some hope, and it gives you some breathing room. It allows for women to get ahead of the workplace, and it allows for men to, for the first time, as I said, in history, not to have to listen all the time to it.
And when we say to it, what do you mean?
I mean to women.
Talking too much.
No, not talking too much. Yes, but, you know, Phil, you got me in a very difficult position here.
Well, I mean, the whole thing comes down to this. You were excited about this news, and you put it up in the workplace as a statement. You ladies, you know, this is how you get ahead, and it is being read by your employees as a harassing or hostile act. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back with Robert Greene from Fraser Foods. The news says, this is a piece of research from Great Britain, it is more likely for a woman to get ahead in the workplace if she doesn't talk so much, and it's more likely for a man to get ahead in the workplace if he does. Bob Greene posted this article in the break room at Fraser Foods, and some of the women there feel it was a hostile act. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, as we're talking with Robert Greene from Fraser Foods. By the way, hockey final, and if you go to our homepage at philhendryshow.com, you see we linked the article from the New York Times. It's kind of a crazy weekend here in Los Angeles, 72 hours straight of playoff sports, hockey, basketball. Lakers are playing, Clippers are playing, Kings played tonight. They're playing again on Sunday, but the Kings defeated the Coyotes 2-1. They are 3-0 in that series, so it's kind of a big piece of news for Los Angeles sports fans because the Kings are a game away from a Stanley Cup final for only the second time in their history. Now, if you were to ask me how many real hockey fans there are in L.A., I could, you know, you could probably count them in four figures. I mean, the real hardcore ones.
Phil, can I jump in?
Go ahead, Bob.
I don't know. You know, here in Orange County, we have the Diamonds or the Anaheim. We got the hockey team.
The Ducks.
The Ducks. We have the Anaheim Mighty Ducks, and they won the Stanley Cup. And the Kings have not won the Stanley Cup, and that's kind of exciting because anytime we can see L.A. not win, and we already won, that is a big boost to Orange County. So I just would like to remind everybody in L.A. that we won the Stanley Cup in Anaheim, but you haven't won it. You haven't won the Stanley Cup in Los Angeles, within the city limits there. Okay?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Is that a big deal? I always thought...
Is what the big deal?
Winning the Stanley... See, I'll tell you why.
Winning... Are you kidding? That's the number one trophy in hockey.
No, I know that, but when the Ducks won the Stanley Cup, I believe there was a tour of the Stanley Cup to Anaheim, and it was in one of the malls there. I think nobody even gave a damn.
Well, no, I mean, I would not... No one cares, really, about the Stanley Cup itself. It was exciting to see the team win.
But the hockey fans of, let's say, the most hardcore hockey fans, which exist, say, in Canada or in the northeastern part of the United States, they're excited And when they see the Stanley Cup being sort of ignored there in Orange County, isn't that kind of an insult?
To who?
To the Canadians. To the hardcore fans.
Well, Phil, I haven't made the money that I've made in my life worrying about what other people think. And really, that's what we're talking about in your program here tonight. We're talking about me posting an article that basically says if women want to get ahead in work, they need to shut up. Now, I didn't say that. An article said that in a newspaper, in England. And I would say that that's a very significant thing. And they're trying to get me for sexism. They're trying to get me for a hostile work environment. Well, guess what? They can't do it because it was in the newspaper, and all I did was put it on the bulletin board.
All right, we do have a recording of this whoop.
Yeah, I know. One of these women that thought that she was going to somehow get the better of me recorded this meeting. It was not even a meeting. I was standing there in the middle of the... can I tell the story?
Go ahead.
You're going to play this recording?
Yeah, we were sent this recording by one of your employees of you whooping and shout and basically celebrating the news that women need to keep quiet in the workplace.
Yeah, I was standing and I was talking to Bill. I was talking to Bill Reisman, as you know, works in our produce department, and I was talking to Jerry Powell and a couple of the other guys. And I read this article, and we were laughing about it, and I gave out a whoop, and she's got the recording, and she gave it to the news as if I'm some kind of a sexist guy, and no way.
All right, let's play this, and you know, I'm not saying that it is significant of anything, but here it is.
I think that was it, Phil.
Okay, I don't know if people heard it, but it was you whooping it up.
Yeah, I don't deny it. I don't think it says anything other than, you know, it's a great piece of news for women and men.
All right, so that's what's hard to believe, okay?
Well, I'm sorry if it's hard to believe, Phil.
But that's when you say that this is a great piece of news for women. You read an article that said women need to shut up in the workplace. And then you went woohoo, as we just heard, and now you're saying you were happy because it was good for men and women.
I'm not saying that it's good for. I'm saying it's good for. Yes, I do believe it's good for women. I'll tell you why. It's better for men because men. It says that men should keep talking. It's not great for women because it tells women the best way for you to get ahead is to just do something that. I don't know. I hope this doesn't sound bad, but I could have told them, you know what I'm saying? Just, would you please just not talk so much? And, man, you'll see the world open up to you. And I think that's good news, Phil. And I think it's good news for anyone's daughter, anyone's wife, anyone's...
Paul Reisman?
Yeah, not Paul, no. His name is Bob Reisman. He works at our produce.
Okay, Bob, did you talk to his wife?
Yeah, I said to him, and I said to his wife, Karen... I said, this is great news for Karen. I said, because, and I told Karen, Bob was there, and I said, this is good news, because you really need to shut up, and I might not have used the best words.
Well, now, why would you say that to a woman who's not your wife in front of her husband?
Because I was giving her some advice.
Yeah, but you're saying to her, shut up, in front of her husband.
So, I don't understand the connection.
Is that not humiliating?
For who?
For the husband?
Well, I mean, I'm his employer, Phil, so there's not a whole lot he's got to say about it. I mean, if I say, and I'm this way with all of my employees, when I say to his wife, I said, look, this is good news for you, Karen, and all you women, you need to just not talk so much, okay? And I said, I used the word shut up, yeah.
And what did he do?
He didn't do anything. I mean, there was nothing needed for him to do. I'm sure he agreed with me. And
well, you know, let me just offer this opinion. If you say that to a man's wife in front of the man, don't you feel as if you are humiliating him and otherwise starting something?
No, starting something? No, I certainly don't, Phil. I certainly don't. I said to everybody, this is great news. It's great news for men, but also, if you can just shut up or... not talk, And I said, and as men, we don't have to listen to you.
8-7, so we're going to get some phone calls here. Can you take some calls?
Well, yeah, I'll take some calls, but I'm not going to... I know what I believe, Bill. What, are you going to try and talk me out of it or something?
No, no, I just, people may have questions. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Robert Greene. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Coming up, we have our news and information hour. We will bring Margaret Gray back on the show. She wants to further comment on the passing of Donna Summer. Margaret's a singer, and so she's going to have a lot to say about that. We have with us here Robert Greene at Fraser Food in Buena Park, California, talking about news that was posted on a bulletin board in the break room. What is the break room? It's where they have lunch, right?
I'm sorry, Phil.
What is your break room where they have lunch?
Yeah, break room is where our employees go and they have lunch. There's a refrigerator there. There's a microwave there. There are, there are eating implements there. There's napkins there. There's tables. I believe we have a television set there, and the employees can go and enjoy their lunch. A lot of people take a snack break there or what have you. And we have a bulletin board that borders the far wall. When you walk into the break room, and it is on that bulletin board that I generally at probably, about 6 or 6:30 in the morning, because I get there very early. I get there before anybody else. I'm there before, and we open up at 7, and I'm there before anyone. Because the first thing that I always make sure of, Phil, is that no one will ever say, well, how do you know, Mr. Green? You don't get here till 10 o'clock. That they're never going to get to say that because I'm there staring at them when they walk in late, a lot of them.
Why do I get the feeling you've got this contentious relationship with your employees?
It's not contentious. You're misreading it. It's not contentious. My relationship with my employees is not contentious. My relationship with my employees is simply I'm the boss. That's all.
Well, you're the boss, and of course you're the boss, but... you're there, and they come in late, usually.
Well, come on. I mean, there's a few of them that come, they drag it in here. So let me finish my point, Phil.
Go ahead.
I walk in probably at, I arrive at 6. I have a bag of breakfast that I take up to my office. I sit down. I have a shake. I have a sandwich that generally has a meat. It's a breakfast meat sandwich. And a shake. I will then also have a thermos of coffee, and it is then that I also go over the news from my Orange County Register. It just so happened that Carrie Ann, who's my girlfriend, was with me. She took me to work because she wanted to drive my Jaguar to her job because she wanted to look like a big shot. And I'm sure you know how it is.
No, I don't. But you know.
Well, you know, not the Jaguar. I don't know what she was driving this morning, but. So she wanted to look like she's dating a guy that's got money, and she is. And I could see how that's exciting for a woman. So I let her bring me to work. She dropped me off.
Okay, so, all right, so you're eating breakfast.
What's that?
So you're eating breakfast.
Yeah, so I'm having breakfast. And I saw this article, and that's when I called Reisman, and I called Willard, and I called a couple of guys in. I read the article to them about women needing to shut up. And by the way, Carrie Ann was there. And I said, Carrie Ann, listen to this. And I told her, you got to keep your mouth shut. And that's when I went, whoopee, woo, or, well, you know, you played the tape. And she went out with a big smile on her face. She didn't seem offended at all.
Well, she's driving your Jaguar, you know.
Well, what's that got to do with it? I don't.
Well, she's got a relationship with you that obviously...
Is what? And I would ask you to be careful, sir.
I'm not saying anything, Bob, that isn't obvious. She's got a relationship with you that she gets some perks.
Well, you know, That's offensive to me. And
but, well, is it true or isn't it?
It's true, but I don't need you putting that together with the hostile workplace thing. I don't get it.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Robert Greene is with us as we talk about his posting an article in the break room at his business, which said, in essence, women need to keep quiet to advance in the workplace. Dr. Jim Sadler joining us. And I want to get your read on this, Dr. Sadler. How are you this evening, sir?
Sir, I'm very good. I'm having a difficult time hearing you, if you could.
All right, I'm sorry. I'll try to turn you up. And, Bob, this is Dr. Sadler.
Dr. Sadler, how are you? Robert Greene. I'm very good, thank you.
Dr. Sadler, you're a psychologist, and it would seem to me...
Whoa. Can I ask a question here?
Go ahead.
What do you mean a psychologist? See, this is what bothers me, Phil, about you. I was on your show...
All I'm trying to do is it's got nothing to do with you.
I've been on your show a number of times. And then you bring on a head shrinker, and the word... And that's like a big neon finger pointing at me and saying... And now here comes the head shrinker, because Bob, now the neon finger lights up. Bob. You know, and what's it saying? What's the neon finger saying?
What is the neon finger saying?
Oh, Phil, can I jump in? It's Dr. Shaw. I think I know where Bob's going with this. Oh, do you, Doc? I do. You say, what does the neon finger say?
Yeah, what is the neon finger that Mr. Henry just lit up, and it's pointing at me, and it says, Bob.
The neon finger is saying Bob needs to talk to someone.
Bob needs to talk to someone because he's bat crap crazy. And, you know, I find that...
No, I don't think you're bat crap crazy.
Why do you jump to that conclusion?
Why do you have a witch doctor on talking to me...
What do you mean, witch doctor?
Well, because I don't believe in psychiatry, sir. I don't believe in psychiatry, and I'm offended, Mr. Henry, that you would bring this gentleman on.
He's not a psychiatrist. Dr. Sadler is a psychologist.
Well, what's the difference?
There's a very big difference, Mr. Green, if I could just allow you, if I could allow you, or not,
you're going to allow me.
You mean what?
I'm going to allow you.
Yeah, if you will allow you.
If you will allow him.
If you will allow him.
If, will you just say what you got to say?
I was going to say to you, Mr. Green, the following thing. Your insecurity.
Hold on. I don't mean to interrupt you.
No, insecure. Would you not interrupt me?
I don't mean to interrupt you. I can't talk to people when I can hear their mouth. You're playing with saliva.
I beg your pardon?
I said you're playing with saliva in your mouth. I can't stand listening to people.
And what are you talking about?
Before he was going like this. It makes me want to vomit. All right?
Sir, I beg your pardon. I am a doctor, a psychologist, the American Psychological Psychology Association. Okay.
Just did it again.
Wait, hold on. Both of you guys, hold on. Dr. Sadler, do you know what organization you belong to?
I do, but I have to be honest with you. I'm very offended by what Mr. Green just said, to the point where I want to hit him.
You want to hit me?
Yes, you know, when you...
He did it again. He's doing this. He's doing... It sounds as if you are getting it on with a teddy bear.
Okay.
Well, I'm sorry.
No, you're not sorry at all. You're laughing your ass off. You think the whole thing is a big joke.
Yeah, Miss Henry, I heard the same thing.
Well, I mean, it's when you go like this... It sounds like you're hunching a stuffed animal.
Oh, my God. I really want to hit you.
And get out of here, both of you guys, okay? Oh.
Why'd you hang up on him, man?
Do Don't keep asking me why I hang up on people. I hung up on them because they were both driving me nuts. That's why. Because I had a feeling we were going to lose control of this show, man, 5 minutes into it tonight.
Yeah, it started out Debbie Daly mumbling away.
You're right, bud. I got to give it. When you're right, as the man said. It started out with Debbie Daly mumbling away. You got it. But that Dr. Sadler, you know, for the first time probably in years, I find myself agreeing with Robert Greene. Why don't you, I don't know if you, you know.
Well, I know Dr. Sadler, he is all mad and everything like that. Hold on, let me get the phone. Dr. Sadler? Dr. Sadler?
This is Jim Sadler, yes.
Dr. Sadler, Mr. Henry disconnected you by mistake.
Oh, okay, I didn't know what happened. I thought that maybe he hung up on me.
Are you crying, sir?
I'm a little bit emotional, yeah, when the man said that he said, and I'm quoting, are we on the air?
Well, yeah, we are.
Oh, for God's sake. Would you...
Bud, you can't do that. They can actually, they'll, you know, it's...
Sorry.
They can get pissed off about that. You got to tell them that they're on. Don't just call a guy up and throw him on the air. How many times have I told you guys that?
About 100?
About 100.
Well, I'm sorry. Just...
Yeah, no, not sorry. Before you put anybody on the air, you got to get permission.
How come I hear a lot of guys do it and they don't get no permission?
I don't care. Anybody that puts anyone on the air without first telling them, not even telling them, you have to get their permission. You can't just say, hi, you're on the air. You can't do that. That's against the law. That's a felony in the state of California and in Florida and a bunch of other states. You have to say, in some way, you're going to be going on the air, and you've got to get their consent.
Yeah, we don't do it on the show here.
Yes, we do. By virtue of the fact that they're calling a number that they know, because we told them we'll get them on the air, we've already gotten their permission.
What?
You just heard what I said, so just take it easy, okay? We're going to take a break. We'll be right back and try to straighten things out, at least with Dr. Sadler and Dr. I mean, Mr. Sadler and Dr. Green. I mean, Mr. Green and Dr. Sadler. And we also have Margaret Gray returning next hour. Donna Summer, rest in peace, talking about workplace, the workplace at Fraser Foods, which increasingly seems to be a universe unto itself. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Okay. Oh, God.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I won't stand for that.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Dr. Sadler's back with us. Do we have Dr. Green? I mean, Mr. Green?
What, is it Dr. Green or Mr. Green?
Mr. Green!
Bud, hi, it's Dr. Sadler. It's Mr. Green. I'm the doctor.
Okay.
Call him back.
Phil, I want you to know that I overheard what you were talking about during the break.
Okay.
Well,
all right, can I tell my audience?
Well, you can do whatever you want, but I was very hurt by it.
I'm sorry. I was telling Dan during the break that I had a therapist once, not for very long, and he had kind of a wimpy voice, and I had said to him that I had a hard time relating to him because he...
Because he talked like me?
No, he didn't talk like you.
Well, that's what you're saying. You're saying that he had a sort of a wimped-out voice.
He sounded a little... Well, he sort of went, Phil, you know, kind of like that. I mean...
Isn't that the way I sound?
Not... I mean...
Don't lie, Phil. If you lie, lying is what really... I leave my doctor's certificate and my all of my doctor stuff, and I just leave it in the office... And I strip down to raw, primeval man, if you lie.
You strip down, huh?
No, it's not gay. I'm a married man.
Okay, now I know that, but what I said during the break...
See, right there. That, so, because I strip down, you think that's because I want you to... Oh, boy. Be my dad?
No, man. I said during the break that I had a therapist, and he and that therapist said he wanted to slug me for saying what I said.
And that's exactly what I said to Mr. Green.
Right. I know. And I understand that that's insulting, and I apologize on behalf of him. And I'm not lying. I'm not lying when I say, no, you're not as bad as this therapist. And the reason why is...
Well, you said you had a wimpy voice.
Yeah, but the reason why you're not as bad is you're not my therapist. You know, you're a guest on my show.
So what you're saying is subjective.
Yeah, it's subjective, exactly.
All right, well, I can accept that. It's just if you were to lie to me and lie, and I've had people lie to me, I'm married to a woman who is 30 years younger than me. I lift. I clean and jerk my own body weight. You know what you about clean and jerk?
I mean, I don't really know what that is.
Well, someday you might.
That sounds gay.
What?
That sounds gay.
What sounds gay? Clean and jerk?
Yeah.
Yeah, it sort of does.
You better get your people under control, Mr. Henry.
All right, Bud and Robert.
You better get your people under control, Mr. Henry.
All right, you guys just shut up, okay?
You better get your people under control.
They're under control.
All right,
Robert Green is going to get back on the line with us because I want to get some, you know, if ever a guy needed closure, man, I need some closure. Bob?
Yeah, Phil. Robert Green.
All right, so Dr. Sandler's here, and can we just move on, gentlemen? What would you say is the read here, Dr. Sandler, in this dynamic, in this workplace dynamic?
Well, as I was going to say, Phil, at the beginning of the hour, I do think that there is a power trip. Those of us who were educated in the 60s and the 70s, when we came of age, you know, we came of age with transactional analysis, and then we came of age with Werner Erhard. I do believe that there is Werner. Sorry, Doctor, is Werner Erhard the guy that does what is it? ESP? Is that what it is? No, Werner Erhard. It's EST. What's that? EST. EST.
EST. E-S-T.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That was one. And a lot of us came of age. I think you have a power trip. I think you're tripping. I think you're all, you know, you want to rule with over women. I do. I've often felt, Bob, and I've told you this, that you have an issue with women. Yeah, an issue with women. I don't deny that. They talk too much. Well, okay, but right there, what you're admitting to is you are hostile. No, I'm not hostile if they shut up. Why would you say that's hostile? Well, listen to the words you use. You go, by the way, speaking of wimpy, you sound like you're about 3 feet tall. Okay, see, so now you want to throw down. That, no, I didn't say that at all. Why are you insulting me? Because you started out with all this stuff about how I sounded like some sort of a fruit. I didn't say fruit. I said, and you you sound like you're some fruit ball that's 3 feet tall wearing turned-up shoes.
Okay, look, do you understand that you guys have now gone from talking psychology and workplace relations to insulting each other, turned-up shoes, 3 feet tall?
Am I wrong, or does this guy sound like a real bowl of fruit? Am I wrong?
Okay, guys, if you're going to talk that way, there's no point. I'm going to let you go.
That's great. Okay, so I'm twisting in the breeze with a possible harassment and hostile workplace lawsuit, and you're going to let me go because this guy with missing half of his tongue, okay, I said it. How dare you? How? No one ever bring that up. I had to bring it up because nobody knows what you're saying, sir.
Everyone understands Dr. Sandler very well.
Oh, okay, Phil. Yeah, sure. Uh-huh. But I'm the one to bring it up, not you. Look, somebody had to bring it up. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Sadler's missing half. Shut up! Shut up! No, I'm going to say it. Shut up!
Okay, Bob. All right.
I won't. Shut your mouth!
All right, Bob. I'm saying goodbye to you.
Oh, that's the biggest...
Dr. Sandler, we're going to conclude with you. Do you want to tell people why you have the speech impediment?
Not now. maybe in the name.
What?
I'm sorry, when I get excited. Not now, maybe in the name of Bane.
Maybe in...
In a little babe.
In a little babe?
No, in a little babe. Not now, maybe in the babe of Bay.
Oh, in Biscayne Bay.
Biscayne Bay?
Are you trying to be funny? Are you?
No, sir, I'm trying to understand what you're saying.
I said I don't want to tell nobody now about my beating family. The baby, baby, bay.
By the by.
You know, oh, God, I want to hurt somebody.
You better dump that. I don't know what he said.
No, but I don't know what he said either.
Dr. Jim Sadler, he will at some point, I guess, come back on the show, right?
Yeah, at Biscayne Bay.
I don't think he said he wasn't saying Biscayne Bay.
Oh, wait a second. Here comes a fax.
A fax?
I mean, an email. Here it is. I said, not now, maybe in a couple of days, douche.
Oh, maybe in a couple of days. Well, that would put it around Saturday, and we won't be here. All right.
Yeah, nice doing, Dr. Sadler. Dr. Babbler.
All right, anyway, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show will be right back after these very special announcements and messages. And like that, they're schmear.
Woo!
I said, not now, baby, baby, label. Baby.
Nope, still can't figure it out.
Phil Hendry.